If you've been listening to the show for the last several months, you know that on an almost weekly basis, we've been going to our draft go-to guy, Kevin Weidel, who is a college football and NFL draft analyst for ESPN, and we're going to him again. He is live on the line with us from ESPN headquarters in Bristol, Connecticut, Kevin Weidel. Hi, Kevin. How are you tonight?
Murph, what's going on, man? It's exciting times.
It really is.
Finally here, you know?
Yeah, I know.
Jeez.
I've asked you every week, are we going to you too often? Are we going to the well too often? Have we done that, Kevin? Tell me the truth.
Nah, this is exciting stuff. Like I said, especially tonight, you start hearing, find out some information this week.
And yeah.
It's just been so boring for the last couple of weeks. You know, everyone's in meetings, you're not hearing much. And finally starting to hear some buzz, and it's, you know, it's exciting.
So we haven't gone to you too much. So what are you doing tomorrow night? No, I'm just kidding, Kevin.
We got we locked up, man.
Yeah, me too.
I might jump on with you guys Friday.
We'll work that out. But thank you. Your availability this spring has been great. We thank you. We want to invite listeners, if you have last-minute questions on the draft, some of the prospects in the draft, this is the guy to go to. He works right alongside Todd McShay at ESPN, helping put together their draft boards. He is Kevin Weidel. Phone lines are open for the next few minutes. 803-0550 is the number. Toll-free 1-888-550-2550. What role do you play there in Bristol over the next few days? And what have you been doing down there, Kevin?
No, you know, just a bunch of radio hits and doing some internet videos. And, you know, what we'll do during the draft is we'll be analyzing online the picks, you know, just basically breaking down the prospects and how they fit and doing that stuff for a bunch of .com duties. You know, obviously I'd like to be doing a little bit more, but, you know, at this point, you know, we got to fulfill our needs with .com. And, you know, so it'll be exciting. I'm just excited to see it, to watch this unfold.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of drama tomorrow night. I think there's going to be some quarterbacks falling. I just don't know what's going to happen. But, you know, I think it's going to be really, really exciting. And it's been a long time coming.
Yeah, no question about that. I feel like I've said this every year for the last several years, Kevin, but this time I feel like I really mean it. I can't remember going into the first round with so much uncertainty right from the top of the draft. I mean, no one really knows what Houston's going to do, and you can almost say that right down through the entire first round tomorrow night. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I think it's becoming clear. I mean, I think you're starting to things are starting to become a little bit more in focus, if you will. You know, obviously with Houston, it's going to set a chain reaction. I think ultimately it's going to be Clowney. Now, you know, there's been a swell over the last few days of Khalil Mack at one, you know, and also if they feel comfortable with Bortles as their quarterback, you know, there's no point in taking him at one if they can trade back and acquire some more picks. So, but ultimately when it comes down to it, I think it's going to be Clowney off the board at one. I think Greg Robinson's going to go to St. Louis at two. Khalil Mack at three would be my guess to Jacksonville, and then Sammy Watkins at four, Mike Evans at five. That would leave Jake Matthews at six. So that would be my guess right now. Just, you know, currently, just talking to you on the phone, that would be my guess of the first six picks, barring there isn't a trade that just blows the whole thing up.
Well, I was going to say, do you do that regardless of who's picking there? I mean, are you matching up needs, or are you saying that's really where you think anybody is going to choose those players at that position in the first round?
No, I think it's, you know, tied with needs and to the team. You know, obviously if it stays that way and those teams are drafting in that slot, that's just how I feel like it's going to play out.
Kevin, what do you make of all, I mean, there haven't been a lot, but some reports, persistent reports, that the Buffalo Bills, our team here in Western New York, are, you know, as the quote went on Pro Football Talk today, burning up the phone lines in an effort to vault them up to number one or two. What do you make of those reports? What have you heard about that?
I don't know if it's realistic. I don't know. I just don't know if they have the ammo to do it,
mm-hmm.
Number one. I don't know if it's I don't know if it's the smart move, if I would do it. To me, I'd sit back at nine. I still think you can get a pretty good player. I'm looking at a guy, you know, maybe if Mike Evans would happen to fall, which I don't know. I doubt it would. But, you know, you're looking at guys like Eric Ebron at nine. You're looking at maybe a Zach Martin who would fit at a right tackle position. You know, opposite, you keep Cordy Glenn at left. And I think Zach Martin can come in and be your right tackle. If not, I think you got a really good starting guard for the next 10 years. You know, he's a name that's been really hot right now, Zach Martin. So, you know, I think anywhere from starting with Buffalo at 9 through 13 to St. Louis' second pick, I think you're going to see Zach Martin come off the board. So, to me, I just wouldn't trade up. I don't think St. Louis wants to get away from Greg Robinson. You know, I don't think they want to trade back to 9 because then Greg Robinson's out of their hands. I know they're pretty strong. They have a pretty target on Greg Robinson. They have a plan in place, you know, to get that offensive line going. So, you know, to me, it looks like Buffalo. I just I think it's rumors, Murph, to be honest with you. And I think they're smart just to sit back and let a player fall to them at 9, because you're going to get a good player at 9 if you've done the evaluation process right, which I'm sure Whaley and those guys have done up there. And they'll get a good one at 9, I bet.
Let me ask you this. As far as the Bills brain trust, what do they benefit from by if, in fact, they start those rumors about burning up phone lines, interested in the first or second pick overall? How, if at all, does that benefit the Buffalo Bills, would you think?
I don't think it does.
I don't either.
Think necessarily it's them starting it or, right. You know, maybe just some interest. You know, they've talked about having some interest in a player. It could start from a Whaley press conference. Someone takes it the wrong way and, starts a rumor. So, to me, I just don't think they benefit. Maybe St. Louis at 2 or Houston at 1 benefits, because then, Buffalo's interesting coming up. You guys want to come up, So it's a big rumor game. You got to watch who you trust. There's always a lot out there the days leading up to the draft, and you just got to really kind of block out the clutter, because a lot of it, 95% of it's, not anywhere near the truth.
Kevin, one former NFL general manager who I spoke with in the last few days told me that his standard operating procedure was to touch base with all 31 other teams in the days prior to the draft, just to see where they're at, to take the temperature.
To gauge it, to see what, the value is and who's out there, who's looking for what, and who's got interest. And sometimes, you can piece two and two together just talking to two separate teams. So, it's always a game. And the more power is knowledge, obviously, in this draft, and knowing what other teams want ahead of you or behind you. So it's a big game. It is a strategy. Obviously there's a strategy from it. And it's the more this thing's blown up, the more rumors you're just hearing that are just, I think, totally off the wall. I've tried to shut off Twitter, honestly. I haven't been on there or tweeted anything in the last 3 days. It's really been amazing just to watch. It's been entertaining, to be honest.
We're on the line with Kevin Weidel. He is our go-to guy in the draft. He's an NFL draft analyst for ESPN. Want to get to some phone calls for Kevin, and if you have a comment about a particular player, now's the time to phone it in. Last chance, by the way, 803-0550, the number, or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. I got one player to ask you about, Kevin, and we just did a televised show that we taped the other day on the local TV here in Buffalo, and we all had to pick, make our prediction of who the Bills would draft. Since Eric Ebron was gone, Jake Matthews was gone, so my turn came to pick for the Bills at number 9, and I chose Odell Beckham Jr. What do you think? Is that realistic? Is 9 too early to draft Odell Beckham Jr.?
I don't know if it's going to be too early. I think it might be just a little tad too early. I mean, I wouldn't be against him. If they do it, I think he's the third best receiver in his class. I think he gives you something in the return game. Not necessarily that you guys need it with having Goodwin back there, but I think he's explosive. I think he's smooth. I've been over this quite a few times on this show, just explaining about him. I think his best football is ahead of him. And, he's the type of guy that I really think is going to be a good player at the next level in terms of that ability to be smooth, explosive after the catch, dangerous, the ability to plant your foot and cut on a dime. He really has that after the catch. So, to me, he's going to be a really good receiver. If you get him in there with Woods, I feel more comfortable with Buffalo taking a bigger-bodied receiver.
Mm-hmm.
I think they need a big physical downfield threat, red zone threat as well. So, to me, that's where I think the need is for them. I wouldn't be against it, because I'm a really big fan of him as a player. I just think it's going to be a little bit early for Beckham to come off the board.
Kevin Weidel, NFL draft analyst from ESPN, on the line with us. You can phone in your comments and questions at 803-0550. Let's go to Will in West Seneca. Will, you're on the air. Go ahead. Hello, Will. Are you there? He is not there. Let's go to Tony on his cell phone. Tony, are you there?
0-for-2 here.
What's going on? Tony, on your cell phone, are you there?
Hello. Yeah, I'm hearing that.
There we go.
All right. Hey, Kevin, I wanted to ask you a little bit about maybe third and fourth round quarterbacks. I am not someone who thinks, that has given up on EJ and wants to go quarterback in the first or second round. But, in particular, just talk about Beckham and LSU. In particular, a guy like Mettenberger or Murray, the SEC guys coming off injury, or just any other quarterbacks you have in mind as third or fourth round projected guys this year who might just turn into pretty good starters in the NFL one day in case, we needed to have one on the shelf.
Anybody come to mind, Kevin?
Well, let me just say Aaron Murray I don't think is a good fit up in that weather. I think he's physically limited. I don't know if he has the arm strength to cut through that wind up there. Zach Mettenberger is interesting. To me, I don't know if I trust him. Obviously, he have the failed drug test at the combine not helping him out. To me, I think he lacks mobility. I think he his internal clock speeds up under pressure. So I just really have questions with handling pressure for Mettenberger. I really have questions handling it from a maturity standpoint. Tom Savage is an interesting name. He's a guy I've talked on here, Murph, and he's been pushed up to the second round, which I've always thought was too early for him. I think right in that late third, fourth round range is when you're going to see Savage come off the board. The concerns I have is lack of mobility and need to speed up his clock and getting through progressions at times can be a little late with decision making. But this guy's got all the physical tools. I think he's got one of the best arm talents in the entire class. He can make throws that not a lot of quarterbacks in this class can make. It showed great mental and physical toughness playing behind a poor offensive line. So I think Savage, if you can get him in that fourth round range and kind of with the right proper and quality coaching, you can develop him. I think he comes in and be a pretty reliable backup. And then, with some quality coaching, who knows down the road, you could potentially have a starter 3-4 years down the road here.
Hey, Kevin, a question about a quarterback who probably belongs in the first or at least second round. Derek Carr, this is where you're going to tell me I'm full of baloney. But I made this comment on our show the other day. To me, he might be the safest pick of all the quarterbacks. Derek Carr, what do you think?
Well, yeah, Murph, I'm on the opposite end of you right now. What I feel like, it's easy, and I see it. It's easy to fall in love with the release. It's easy to fall in love with the arm strength and the ball. He throws a pretty ball. There's no question about it. To me, though, he's nailed this postseason process: the Senior Bowl, his Pro Day, Combine. And that's his arena. That's where he's going to look great. The problem I have with him is pressure. And he's a guy that, what I like to say is doesn't always play with his back foot in his ground. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is when pressure's coming at him, he kind of anticipates it and his feet will kind of get frenetic, and he won't always put his plant foot in the ground, stare down that gun barrel, and make a throw while taking a hit. You really saw that in the USC tape. You go to the Boise tape, you see a little bit of it. He's kind of a little bit gun-shy. I want a guy that's oblivious to pressure. I don't want a guy that anticipates pressure. And to me, Carr anticipates pressure, and that's why I think he's going to have some struggle at the next level. Yeah, and I'm not a big metrics guy, but when you break it down, he completed 69% of his passes, completion percentage, Murph. 60% of those throws were within 5 yards or less of the line of scrimmage.
Huh.
We also go through tape, and what we do is we will record all the pressure drops, meaning anything that affects your throw in terms of pressure, meaning if it was late pressure, if someone got a hit on you, coming in your face, and his completion percentage was near the lowest of all the quarterbacks we recorded. It was down near 31%, where some of the top guys, like Bortles and Bridgewater, were up near 50% or above. So to me, you better be able to handle pressure. I just have some big concerns with Carr, and that's why I think right now we have a fourth-round grade on him.
Oh, wow. Well, you're the guy. That's why I like having you on the show. You see stuff that most of the rest of us don't see. Here comes Joe, a question from Joe. Hello, Joe. You're on the air.
Hey, John. I'm actually calling to talk more about day three. Hopefully it's day two. But I went to Kansas High School class of 07. I played with John Urschel. He was a sophomore right tackle. I was our right guard. I think he's a great kid and even better player. What do you think? Where do you think he's going to go?
John Urschel out of Penn State.
Yeah,
John.
Real quick, was he a rocket scientist in high school as he is in college? Yeah.
This kid was brilliant, and he is one of the most well-mannered gentlemen you will ever meet in your life.
He was named Mr. Canisius in his senior year. He's the real deal.
He graduated in like 3 years. Right now he's like teaching classes at Penn State. It's crazy.
I know, and honestly, I'm really not surprised at it. I'm really not.
Yeah. Well, he's a guy, I think, right in the fifth round is where you're going to see him come off the board. I think late fourth, fifth round, played some guard. Some people think he can play some center and has some versatility. Certainly, I think he has the awareness and the knowledge to do it, to pick it up. He's a guy that's got to play with a little bit more balance. you know, just average athleticism, I would say, and can continue to get stronger. But, you know, he's a guy that's got great awareness, locates his targets, takes good angles, sustains his blocks. There's some limitations athletically, but that I think you're going to find a guy like Urschel who can come in fourth, fifth round range, add some depth immediately, and who knows, you know, in a couple years of development, you could have a starter at guard or potentially center.
I go back to what the great Marv Levy used to say, Kevin, about smart players get better quicker than others.
That's exactly it, because you can pick up schemes. I talked to a team, an NFL team, that doesn't do sight adjustments. They don't do hot reads and sight adjustments. They rely on the smarts and the intelligence of their offensive line to be able to pick up these blitzes. So to me, more so, especially interior offensive line, it is such a big thing to be intelligent, to show awareness on tape for pressures, defensive line twists, stunts, games. So, you know, Urschel certainly has that, and which is only going to help him, I think, in the future as a prospect.
Just got a couple of minutes left with Kevin Weidel, NFL draft analyst for ESPN. The phone line's open if you have a comment or a question at 803-0550. Here is Johnny John from Buffalo. You're on the air. Hello. John from Buffalo.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, what do you think of the Bills trading back and getting Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, the safety?
What do you think of that, Kevin?
Yeah, it depends how far you trade back. You know, Clinton Dix is my favorite safety in this class, to be honest, and he's a guy that can do it all. I love his leverage. I think he's steady in the back end. He's a guy that can come up and run support. He's really reliable in that area. He can drop down, and he's that free safety that I think they could look to as they replace Jarius Byrd. To me, it depends how far you drop back and what you're getting. You know, I think if you drop in the mid-teens, I think it's an option. But I also think there's some other safeties out there as well. Deion Buchanan out of Washington State, Jimmy Ward's another option in the second round. So, but any time I think you can drop, if the player's not there that you love and you can drop back and pick up some picks, I think it's always a great thing to do, especially in this draft that it has so much depth at certain positions. So to me, you know, it's not a bad option. I just would wonder where Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, where you're going to take him. You know, before 15, I'd have a little bit of a problem. I think, you know, more in the late teens, early 20s is where I feel more comfortable of taking a guy like Clinton Dix.
We had a listener ask about the cornerback from Oklahoma State, Justin Gilbert. Kevin, is he the first corner to come off the board, and just about where do you think he would go tomorrow night?
It's going to be interesting with Gilbert. I think he's a little bit overrated, Murph. I do. I think he's. I think Dennard is the best corner in this class out of Michigan State, Darquez Dennard. And I think Kyle Fuller is a better player out of Virginia Tech. You look at Justin Gilbert. I know this. There's a couple teams that, you know, have in the second round. I know one team where their directors and high-ups have Justin Gilbert as a third-round grade. So, you know, there's a lot of differing opinions about Gilbert. He's long. He's fast. He's got really good ball skills, but he's also got poor technique. He's got a lot of tightness in his hips, and he lets up a lot of separation. Not very physical, a little bit disinterested against the run. So I think, you know, you're looking at better football players than Dennard and Fuller. But I still think, you know, Gilbert essentially could be the first one to come off the board. It's going to be interesting to see how these corners play out. But I think you'll see a corner run sooner than people expect. I think right after as we get into the 10 to 15 range, you're going to start to see a little bit of a corner run at that point.
Last question for you, Kevin. Look into your crystal ball. Who's going to make the biggest surprise in tomorrow's first round? Which team and how? What do you think?
I'm going to go on a limb here, and this is, I think, Dallas Cowboys and Johnny Manziel.
Really?
It's not, you know, put it this way, I won't be shocked.
And will they have to?
I won't be shocked.
Will they have to move to get him, or can they get him at 16 there?
It'll be interesting if he starts falling to see if they do. But I it's out there, and I don't know how, you know, reliable the source is. I feel pretty good about it, but I won't be shocked. Just put it that way.
Kevin, as always, you're great to do this with us again on a very busy night for you. We thank you very much for being on the air with us tonight. We'll talk again soon. Thanks.
Sounds good, John. Appreciate it, man.
Kevin Weidel, he's been great to us over the last several months, the NFL draft analyst for ESPN. As he said, you can catch his work on ESPN.com as they go through pick by pick throughout the weekend of the draft, starting tomorrow night, 8 o'clock tomorrow night when the draft begins.